And I wanted to mention those to you. Well, it is a joy again to be here on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, here in God's house and here together as church family and here together, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I hope that you just kind of let it all sink in. Not because you're in such great company, except for the Lord. The rest of us are just all sinners saved by grace. But it's a wonderful thing to be in the place that God wants you to be in. And thank you for being here, and thank you for blessing us with your presence. I'm going to have you look, if you would, at Titus, and I want you to look at Titus chapter 2, and we'll get started for about the next few moments here. I want to look into the scriptures and ask what kind of people we are, but as you're finding your place in Titus chapter 2, I did hear this story about this fella, a very rich man, very eccentric as well, and back in the backyard, he had this lagoon of a thing or whatnot, had salt water in there, had alligators and had sharks and had all kinds of animals floating or swimming around in that thing. And he told all of his guests, he said, I'll give one of anything I've got, any of my possessions, to the brave person that will jump in there and amongst these alligators and sharks and swim to the other side. I'll give anything, one of anything that I have. About that time, there's a big old splash. And then there was this guy just going 90 mile an hour to nothing. He was just swimming, trying to avoid alligators and slapping sharks and just doing all he could, just swimming to beat the band, just swimming. Finally, he made it from one side to the other side, and he clumb up on there, and those alligators chomping at his heels as he got. And the owner of the place, the eccentric rich guy, said, wow, never seen anybody so brave. He said, I want to find out what it is you want. What is it want of all the stuff I have? I've got cars and boats. I've got everything. What do you want? He said, well, the first thing I want is I want to find out who pushed me in on the other side. So it's not always your bravery. Sometimes necessity kicks in. I want you to look at Titus chapter 2, verse number 12, and we'll read 12, 13, 14, and then later we'll go back in the beginning of the passage a little bit, but Titus 2, 12, 13, 14, and I've known that I was supposed to preach this since back the other night this week, but trust in the Lord will help us today, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's so much in verse number 12 I'd like to preach on, and I'll get to it just a little bit, but really verse number 13 is where the Lord's brought us this past week, brought me to bring us today. Looking for that blessed hope and our glorious and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, in verse number 12, it talks about how we ought to live. And I'm going to submit to you in just a little bit that living this way with the culture fighting as hard as it possibly can against everything that's godly, moral, ethical, and right, that living in verse number 12 wears you out. My brother-in-law was preaching one time, and he's from West Virginia, as I am, my pastor. And he said, listen, folks, in this Christian life, sometimes you just get tarred. You just get tarred, and I've told you this before, but he said, you just get tarred, and finally after the service, and when the preaching was done, the invitation was given, and the pastor was out in the back at this conference, and he said, somebody came up to him and said, Pastor, he said, I do not understand what you're meaning by this tarred. He said, are you speaking of tarred and feathered? And he said, what? He said, are you speaking of tarred and feathered like they did in some ancient cultures? He said, no. I'm talking about tarred. And he said, that's what I said. Are you talking about tarred? He said, yeah, I'm talking about tarred, but not that kind of tarred. He said, well, can you explain the difference? He said, yeah, after you've had a hard day's work and you haven't had enough lemonade, you haven't had enough water, you haven't had all that, you've just been hitting it hard and you're doing a lot of work, you are flat out tarred. T-I-R-E-D, tarred. So, if you live in verse number 12, in the culture that we live in, teaching us to deny ungodliness, deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, you're going to be a tarred people because society isn't helping you out much right now. But I want to ask the question in the next about 15, 20 minutes, what kind of people are we? What people are we? Father, bless us now as our prayer. I pray that you'd settle us down, dear Lord, for these next moments that we have. And I pray that you would do a great work in the heart of everyone that's here. Lord, I pray for that person that's here for the very first time, that you would just minister to their heart. Lord, I pray that you'd give them what they need. I pray for that other person that's been here for 50 years plus, that you would do the same to them. Father, I pray you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to draw some from these other verses. If you look back there in verse number 2, you'll see that the aged men that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, living that way. The verse number 3, the aged women likewise, they be in behaviors becoming holiness. And it goes down through there that they teach the young women in verse number 4. They teach them to be discreet in verse number 5, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise. And it gives some instructions there that you might know how to live. And then it sums it all up in verse number 12, teaching us, as we already said. I was doing some research on this and study, and it was found by 20somethingfinance.com. It was a website about all things productivity related. In 1960, 20% of mothers worked outside the home. Now, I say that very distinctly because moms that work inside the home probably do more work than most of us men that work outside the home if they got some kids at home. And so 20% worked outside the home as compared to today. About 70% of homes have both, if they have two parents, both of them work. This, according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, the productivity of U.S. workers has increased 430% since 1950 in the last 72 years. Which would mean that we should be able to get done today in about 10 hours what used to take us 40 hours, or we should be getting four times as much work done if you still stay for a 40-hour stint. But you know neither of those are happening. We've gotten smarter and smarter and better and more efficient and more efficient, and more productivity has been put into our days, yet still we want to go longer. Now, I'm not saying that's good, bad. I'm just saying what it does do is lead me to my next thought about that, and that causes a lot of stress. According to 20somethingfinance.com, stress is the number one cause of mental and physical health problems in workers today. The U.S. is the only industrialized country that doesn't have a legally mandated annual leave that people have to take. The government's taken hold of that in many other countries. And I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying that our world, or our country rather, is tired. But not only are we tired physically, as I already alluded to and brought you to, if you live like verse number 12 says, in a culture that is completely opposed to that book right there, then you are going to be tired spiritually as well. You want to know why you've felt drained many times over the last 2.5 years? You want to, even longer than that, but with COVID going on, you want to know why, as you face the things out in your workforce, why you just feel like you're just pressured? Because everything that hell can offer up to us and everything that the devil can put up to us and against us is being just that, against us. And when we try to live godly in this present world, it flat wears you out. And I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 12, I'm talking to, I believe, a tired people. As I mentioned, verse number 2 talks about the aged men being sober. Then verse number 3, the aged women. And verse number 4, that they might teach the young women. Verse number 10, not purloining. That just means operating in dishonesty to get where you're going. Then verse number 12, our text in that aspect, denying ungodliness. Look in verse number 10, if you will. Not purloining. Again, that means getting where you're getting in dishonest fashion. Do you know how hard it is for a businessman to operate in an honest fashion, in an ethical fashion, in a moral fashion, when it seems like all the world is really out to get as much as they can get, not minding how they get it? And so you take it for a worker, you take it for a business owner, you take it for somebody in the workforce, when they want to say, no, I'm going to do a good day's work for the pay that I get. That used to be commonplace. You know why our nation's been blessed? It's been blessed by God, but it's also been blessed because we put in biblical principles, whether you're a Jew or a Christian, back in its founding, and we came to a place in our nation where we thought lying was bad. So when employees lied to employers, that got them in trouble. We came from a biblical standpoint and said, if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So we gather that principle from the Word of God that we're supposed to be hard workers. So who do businesses reward? Traditionally, they've rewarded hard workers. We've got so many blessings because of the principles of God that have been put in place in our nation. But you look at the average worker today, and there's many, many voices that are trying to tell him or her, don't do more than you have to. If you don't get caught, it doesn't matter. And so we understand that we're looking at a tired people if you live in verse number 12. And I give all those to you because it's getting harder and harder to live like that. Let me give you another just thought as you're working your way through this. Somebody says today, our lives are busy. People say, well, you just need to work harder and get what you want. Your life is empty. My life is empty. And somebody gives you the response, find yourself. Somebody says, my life is broken. Well, you need to pick up the pieces and put yourself together. My family is going wrong. Well, you need to put that family back together and pick yourself up. I have no purpose. And the answer back says, you need to get a mission. I'm bored. Well, you need to get a hobby. Can you relate to me what every one of those answers had in common? You. If we do see a problem in our nation, we do see a problem in our lifestyle, the answer is always, you fix it. But I've come to give you the answer that the Scripture says, and that is that when you've got a problem in your life, you turn your eyes upon Jesus. As the songwriter said, look full in His wonderful face, and the cares of this world will grow strangely and dim in the light of His glory in grace. Every solution that the world gives has you to do something or you to start figuring something out. And instead, it's high time that we as Christians start realizing we're not going to fix the problem in the same way we created the problem. If we created the problem by putting ourselves on the throne, and the way we're going to fix the problem is putting Jesus Christ back on the throne. So I see that we're a tired people, but now I get to the part since last Wednesday, I knew that I was supposed to preach to you. Look at verse number 13. Not only are we a tired people, but we are a looking people, or we're supposed to be, and that's why I've come today. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says in another passage, but here he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that life makes you tired, and I know that people will disappoint you, and I can't get them to stop. And as a matter of fact, I'll disappoint you, and you'll disappoint me. I can't help you nor me not disappoint people, but I can tell you that you ought to look unto Jesus, the blessed hope that we have in His soon return, and realize that He is the one who will never, ever disappoint you. So I've come today as a blatant statement to tell you, Jesus is coming again. We have heard it preached in our churches so long that we've forgotten it. We have heard it in years gone by, in decades gone by, but in recent years it seems like a famine of preaching about the soon return of Jesus Christ. But it is coming again. Listen, folks, it's only 126 days till Christmas, and I'm excited. It's only 50, next March, I'll be 50, and my birthday, I'm not excited about that part. Next June, Amy and I will be married for 30 years, and I'm excited about that. We're looking to 2024, when this church right here will be 245 years old, and I'm excited to get to celebrate that here in a couple years. But I'm not as excited about any of those things as I am about the Bible verse when it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. My friend, it's time that we as Christians once again start reminding ourselves that perhaps today. I don't have to ask for a show of hands in this room how many of us have gone in long portions of our day without reminding ourselves that this could be the day that Jesus returns. Because you, like me, get caught up in our tiredness, our busyness, and we forget. But this morning we have a hope. The Bible calls it that blessed hope. We're living in a troubled world, but we have a hope. Now, when I say hope, it's not one of those, I wish it would come true, it could come true, it might come true, I don't know if it will come true. It's not a wish it hope, but it's a know it hope. It's like that little boy in West Virginia that says, I hope how soon Christmas gets here. Now, he knows the calendar, no older than he is. He knows it's coming. He's not wishing and thinking maybe it will, maybe it won't. What he's saying is, I'm anxiously awaiting the time when Christmas gets here. And the blessed hope that we've got is the fact that we have a Savior. Amen. Look in the wheel at verse number 13, and let's just draw this out of here. We have a hope, but we also, the reason we have a hope is because we have a Savior looking and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love it that Jesus is not sending an angel to retrieve us. You know, one of those fail. I love it that he's not sending a representative. I love it that he's not sending an aircraft of some sort. The Bible says the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. And since we're looking people, since we're a folks that's supposed to be looking for that blessed hope, it gives you the last one that I want to leave you with before I go today. It ought to leave us as a different people. Look in verse number 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Why are we different? Well, the Bible says we're different because he redeemed us, and we're different because we're that people that he purified unto himself. And now we're supposed to be zealous in good works. Lester Roloff, an evangelist of yesteryear, came into a meeting one time, and he asked this lady at the church lobby, "How are you doing?" And he had known her from meetings before, and she said, "I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances." And he said, "You're a child of God. What are you doing living under the circumstances?" My friend, by the promises of God, we are able to live above those circumstances that are happening in your life. I can't control what comes across your desk this week, but I can remind you that we are looking for a blessed hope. I can't control what family member disappoints you, but I can remind you we're looking for that blessed hope. I can't control what news report of a, or not news report, but a doctor's report that you get, but I can remind you of to look unto that blessed hope and the soon returning of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want our whole outlook to be different. We are a tired people, but not only are we a tired people, we're a looking people. Look up our eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh. Pick up your eyes. And we are not only a looking people, but we're a different people because of that look. I give you this last illustration. It was somewhere at a place of business the other day, and I was staying for quite a while. They had a lot of windows in there, but the windows were tinted so much that you really, because of the heat, because of the sunshine in, they were tinted so much, they were almost like mirrored. And I sat in there long enough. When I came, it was bright and sunny, and that's you, as I already mentioned, that's the outlook I like. When I came, it was that way, and I walked in there and didn't thinking, but as the door shut behind me, the tint on that window, almost like that limo tint, dark, 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 it just, after I sat in there for a half hour, hour and 15, however long I was there, I didn't mean to make this jump, but my mind, I guess subconsciously, made this jump that it's dreary outside. Because of that dark tint on every bit of window that I could see. And so I got to a place where I was just preparing myself to go out and be ready for an overcast, dreary, not sunny day that I would have to get through, which is fine. That happens sometimes. But I was so surprised as I came up toward the door, I could see where there were some holes. Some kids had messed up the tint on that window a little bit by kicking it, or something else had scratched it. And so through some scratches here and there, and there where the tint didn't get quite to the door frame, I could see some brightness shining through. It was dark, almost black on this side, but then I could just see a little sliver of light. And then when I opened up that door, then that sunshine just welcomed me. And I think that I'm talking to some people this morning. We've been in this tinted society for so long. We've been so used to the negativity on the news. We've been so used to this person's going to get us some help, and nope, now he's out. Now this one's not going to get us help. Well, maybe he'll get back in again. And we've looked at all this negativity for so long that we've let ourselves think that the sun isn't shining. But friend, I've come today to tell you that as I reached out to that door and started to push or pull, whichever way it was, I saw some slivers of light come through that dark, dark tent. I'm seeing some slivers of light come through this dark, dark canopy that we're living under. I'm seeing in this dark world that you live in and I live in, then this present world, as the Bible says, teaching us that we're supposed to deny ungodliness as we live, as the Bible says, in this present world. God didn't give us a way that we can live if everything were perfect, because he knew that until Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom on this earth, nothing will ever be perfect until he's ruling. And so he knew what we would be living in, and he said that we are supposed to live this way in this present world. And living this way in that present world makes us a different people. What people are we? According to verse number 14, we're a peculiar people. Now, you don't have to confess to me. I've met some weirdos too. My pastor says, the gospel light attracts strange bugs. But God's not talking about being a weirdo. You know those people that are weirdos at your church? They're probably weirdos before they got to church as well. Don't blame that on us. We didn't do that one. But according to verse number 14, we're supposed to be peculiar people, zealous of good works. But you don't get to verse number 14 without going through verse number 13. So you don't get to be that peculiar person that's intent on serving the Lord with good works. But what you go through verse number 13 and start picking your gaze up off this current world that we live in and start looking to another country and start reminding yourself that it could be today. And I realize that there are some of you in here this morning. This may be new teaching to you. You might not have ever had somebody teach on that. But you look at this passage. You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 15, 16, 17 there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you will see that that coming of the Lord, when he comes in the clouds, the Bible says, is not the teaching in Revelation where Jesus comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. As it says in Matthew chapter 24, it says that eastern sky where God, Jesus Christ, will come out of. Yes, he'll come out of and he'll set his feet on the Mount of Olives. But this part of that coming is not when he comes to the ground. He just comes to the clouds. And the Bible says he calls us unto himself. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, how do you know for sure that's true? Well, back over here in Revelation, the Bible says that he is going to bring his saints with him. If we're going to be with him, we got to get up there somehow. Amen. And he's going to come back before the big one at the end. And what scholars call the rapture, that word's not in the Bible, but the phrase caught up is, and that's what rapture means. And so I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is coming again. Maybe it's been a while since a preacher has told you, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is coming again. I'm looking at a group of tired people, but I'm admonishing you to be a group of looking people, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at him and be that looking people, I believe that we'll be that different people. Tonight, I think I'll preach on the reason our cross is up here at the in the front. I think I'll preach on lifting him up. And if we're the ones that are looking to him, then we're going to spend our lives being that group that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. Our friend Brother Jackson is here, he and Debbie, and they've given this part of their life to trying to lift up Jesus Christ at fairs and festivals and carnivals, and here, that's why he's here. May we be that looking people, looking for that blessed hope. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that you've encouraged the saints, and I pray, dear Lord, that you have convicted the sinner. Lord, if there's somebody in here or several somebodies that's not sure they're saved, Lord, I pray that this has hastened their decision. I pray that they would get to a place where they realize that they need to call on Jesus Christ for their salvation. The Baptist can't do it. The Methodist can't do it. The good works can't do it. The baptism can't do it. The rosary can't do it. Nothing else can do it. The only thing that can do it, the only thing that can save a person is not a thing but a person, and that's Jesus Christ. I pray if there's one or several that are in here not sure that they're saved, they would call upon him as their Savior today. Turn from everything else. Turn from their own ability and just call upon Christ. And dear Lord, there's a wonderful crowd of Christians, more than I would have ever dreamed. But Lord, each one of them need to be a looking people, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever the need is in your heart, my friend, if you're here and a Christian and you've been so tired, you've been forgetting to look up, haven't you? You've just been looking for your surroundings, for your comfort. Your comfort's not coming from your surroundings. The surroundings are what got you uncomfortable to begin with. You've been looking to get out of the mess the same way you got in the mess. You need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, today is the day of salvation. This is the day that you ought to call upon Christ before he returns. Whatever your need is, I trust you would do it. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as they begin to play? Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The words are up on the screen behind me. Could you just sing with me? Oh, I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. As you continue to sing, let me just ask you this. The cross before me. Just sing with us. But perhaps you're here today and you have been bogged down in so much of life, you forgot to look up. You're not going to find your help. You're not going to find the solution around in the world. We're going to find it in Jesus Christ. You say, I'm already saved. I already know Jesus Christ. You're going to find help in the same place you found salvation. As in today's vernacular, one-stop shopping. He saved you. He sustains you. He sanctifies you. He wants you to get closer to him so that you can have victory in your life. God didn't save us to keep us underneath the circumstance of life. He instead saved us to walk on the victory side. We're going to sing one more verse, and if you're here and you're not saved, I invite you to come out. Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure. Perhaps you're a Christian. You need to come and pray at an old-fashioned altar. Give some things to the Lord. Would you put the words back up there one more time? Here we go.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
pray. I want to thank you for being in church today. And I, with all of my heart, I knew when Levi preached the other night, the Lord gave me this message or gave me the thought of it. And so I tried to go to the book and find it. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was the message for our church this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for being here in your place to hear it. Listen, folks, we're looking for our Savior to come back anytime. Doesn't it make everything seem a little less important? All those other things. Brother Kyle, would you come back up and dismiss us in prayer? He opened us and we have him close us. I'm going to slip to the back with my wife. Ladies, for the Bible study, there's a table set up right between the exterior doors. On the inside, though, that you can buy one of the Bible study books. Stop by and get that. And I know that you'll have a great one when that starts right at the beginning of September. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel Brown, if he doesn't mind, to slip back to his table and just be there to answer any questions about the ministry that God has graciously put them in. And then if you're a guest with us today or you've been coming for a long time, but you filled out one of those guest cards, either drop that. If you're a guest with us, please drop it by guest services. And if you've got one that you just like for a pastoral visit or something, then drop it by the guest services as well. We'll certainly enjoy each and every part of that. Brother Kyle, pray for us, please.
Lord, we thank you that we can look for your return. Lord, thank you you're coming back for us. Lord, thank you for dying on a cross and, Lord, for loving us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to share the message of your salvation to the world. Lord, I pray that you would bless us this afternoon and bring us back safely tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.